Hello and welcome to the Heavy Matters podcast with myself, Joey. And as always, joining me is my partner in crime, Venny, who is just back from the Caribbean. And I have to ask, Venny, have you been siphoning funds out of the Heavy Matters petty cash to fund your family's holidays?
Yeah, I mean, the slush funds took a big hit for the holiday, but I can assure you it's very worthwhile, and I feel very rested and raring to go in terms of getting back into the Heavy Matters business at the start of the year. So thank you on behalf of Heavy Matters for granting me annual leave and letting me go away.
Yeah, I assume we can use it as a tax write-off at some point to get it off the books. But I'm happy. My family's going to go cold and hungry now, seeing as you've been jetting off. There's nothing left in the pot.
Oh, you have to switch the hot tub off for a while to save on your energy bills.
Touche. But not just joining me this week is Venny. We've got a very special guest, and we are delighted and thankful to be joined by Hannah Gillicker. Welcome, Hannah. Nervous?
Hi, welcome. Thanks for having me. Do you know what? I am a tiny bit nervous because I don't do these things very often, but I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, we're going to review two albums today. One is by a band called Shell Beach, and the other one is by Scold. I think that's how I pronounce it. But Hannah, you work in the music industry as a... Well, I'll let you explain. What you work for Hold Tight. Your boss is one Lisa Coverdale, and also James Monteith from... a little band called Tesseract. So what is your role in Hold Tight, please?
So my official title at Hold Tight is Head of Broadcast, which essentially means that I head up all of the radio side of the company. I also do some online PR as well on top of that. But yeah, any of the bands that on our roster that release singles, I will pitch them to the people that need to hear them. And yeah, get them as much radio airplay as physically possible.
And how long have you been at Hold Tight now?
At the beginning of January, I had my 8-year anniversary.
8 years? Wow.
8 years, yep.
That's a long time in a row, isn't it? Obviously, must be a good company to work for.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I don't have a bad word to say about Hold Tight. I love the team. You know, when I started 8 years ago, I had basically little experience in PR, no experience in radio, but they have, you know, allowed me to grow that side of the company and, yeah, put their trust in me. So, yeah, no complaints.
How did it come about you getting the role in Hold Tight? What did you do previously?
So, actually, I got the role just as I finished uni, actually. So I went to uni in Leeds and did a management degree. And while I was there, I was getting as much work experience and work as I possibly could in music, whether that was merch at venues, selling tickets, working at festivals, that kind of thing. And then I had a friend get in touch with me 2 years into my uni degree, I think it was, in like 2012, saying, oh, we're looking for some writers for this new website if you'd like to be a journalist. And I'd never really considered that before. So gave that a go and sort of progressed, worked with different publications, you know, then had communications with lots of different PR companies. And as I was sort of getting to the point where I was finishing uni, I was at a couple of festivals and basically just planted some seeds and said, oh, you know, really would like a job in PR if possible. And yeah, Hold Tight had an internship coming up that September. I did the internship, and at the end of that, they said, would you like to work for us full time? And here I am 8 years later.
So you came straight out of uni and you've been working there 8 years.
Yes.
So you're considerably younger than Benny and myself.
I turned 31 in October.
What? Do you remember being 31, Benny?
It was a while ago. A quick question, if I may, Hannah, to jump in. Over that 8 years, I don't know if your role's changed, but how have you noticed changes in the way music's consumed in terms of how you're pitching things? Obviously, 8 years ago, things were a little bit different in terms of what radio stations were around, what TV, how have things changed in that time?
I have to say, like, in terms of radio, I haven't seen like too much change in terms of the way that I work. Obviously, with you know, the dreaded COVID-19 pandemic, that did change quite a bit in terms of like when I would pitch and how I would pitch. But yeah, in terms of radio, I wouldn't say that too much has changed. I mean, actually, you know, it's great to see that there are now more sort of rock shows being introduced on the likes of like Radio One. And that's opening a lot of doors for our smaller bands who, you know, may not be quite ready for some of the bigger shows. But yeah, I mean, in terms of online PR and also, I guess, print, which I don't do, but I see it on a secondhand basis at work. Obviously, that landscape has changed quite a lot. And I guess like nowadays, you've got to just be a bit more creative with the way that you pitch rather than, you know, just expect to get tons of reviews and, you know, tons of sort of, I guess, like template feature sort of things. You've just got to kind of look at angles and cool stories and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, the smaller bands is, you know, we love talking about new and upcoming bands. And I suppose the question is, like, how hard is it for you to get these underground smaller bands onto the likes of, I'm just going to throw Radio 1 Rock Show for argument's sake, how hard is it for you to get them on those shows?
I mean, obviously, it's hugely competitive. I don't even want to know how many tracks, you know, their producers and Dan gets, you know, every week. It must be at least in the hundreds. So yeah, it's you kind of have to be quite picky about what you pitch to those sorts of shows. And, you know, it's really important to show that a band is, you know, in demand if they, you know, have a good tour coming up or, you know, a record coming out. You know, things like, I guess, like Spotify stats are really important. You know, nowadays they never used to be. I guess that is quite different to how I used to pitch. So yeah, no, it is difficult, but, you know, BBC Introducing, for example, is amazing. You know, they have those all the way, you know, around the country. And like, you know, you've got your sort of BBC Introducing Rock, which is a great way, you know, into Radio One from Introducing. So it's all just sort of about building relationships and building up as best as you can, really.
The BBC has been a pretty reliable institution. Rock show's been around, you know, long past since I was 31. But I'm just trying to cast my mind back 8 years, and I was thinking, you know, back then you probably had Team Rock Radio, Kerrang Radio is more of a thing. And I don't know if you agree with this statement, but I wonder if there's fewer bigger shows now and lots more smaller independent productions. So has that kind of changed the way you have been working?
Yes and no. I mean, so if you take Team Rock Radio, for example, you know, that isn't a thing anymore. But now, you know, some of the guys from Team Rock have created Primordial Radio, which is a fantastic radio station that has a really dedicated listenership. So, you know, to get bands on Primordial Radio is like a really key target for me. Kerrang Radio is still going strong. I pitch them every week. You've also got like Planet Rock Radio, which is good for the sort of more classic-y rock bands. And also Radio 2 have a rock show now. So there's like, it feels like there's quite a lot of scope in terms of like the top level. But then again, there are so many amazing sort of online and regional stations as well that I pitch to every week. And like all of those presenters are like really dedicated and super passionate about the bands that you send. And, you know, that's great because if you have a band touring in, you know, those regional areas, you know, that's a very sort of localized listenership that, you know, get direct access to your band. So yeah, I'm really positive about the radio sphere at the moment. It feels like it's a good community.
It sounds like it's a very challenging, but I'd say at the same time, quite a rewarding job. Like who in most recent times or throughout your whole career would you say was your biggest success, as in getting them on radio and now perhaps they're on a bigger platform?
Oh gosh, trying to think. I've been really fortunate that I've had bands, you know, Maida Vale for Radio One, like, you know, been able to be part of that is, you know, a really special thing. But yeah, in terms of bands that I've, you know, sort of seen progress that I've worked with, a great example actually is a band called As Everything Folds, who I've been working with for about 2 years now. And we worked on their debut album in 2021. And they were getting, you know, some, you know, really positive like radio support from the sort of the likes of like Alex Baker at Kerrang Radio. He was, you know, an amazing supporter. Tons of regional online support, Primordial Radio as well. But as we've announced this new campaign for their second album, now we're starting to see the likes of, you know, Radio One introducing Rock, pick them up. They're sort of moving up to nighttime playlist with Kerrang Radio. So it's really nice to see like that progression, like from debut album to this sort of second album. And, you know, that also ties in with the fact that they have had a really, really, you know, amazing couple of years on the road, you know, when they could, you know, after COVID, they've, you know, toured with Holding Absence, Enter Shikari, Trash Boat. They've done Download Festival, some great festivals in Europe. So it all sort of works in quite a nice sort of circle. So, you know, the support that they get from our campaigns also helps with them, you know, getting tours. And them getting the good tours helps us pitch, you know, further. So it's a little bit of a vicious circle sometimes, but when it works really well.
I mean, that's really like great to see bands like that. And like, obviously that's the good end of your role, but I would say at the same time, you need to be fairly thick skinned to work in this business in terms of, I can't think of another word at the moment, so I'm just going to throw it out there. There's no offense, but like rejection or pushback. Sorry, pushback's probably a better word. Like, you know, you're probably sending out loads of singles to play. And, you know, like I said, there's hundreds of tracks going out. So how do you deal with that? Like the pushback, are you quite a sense, or have you now like been 8 years in the role and it's just water off a duck's back?
I definitely take it less personally these days. In a way, I often use it as ammo to be like, right, well, I'm gonna keep updating you with all of the progress this artist is making, and hopefully you'll change your mind at some point. Like, I never just sort of back down at the first no. And sometimes that works, and then you do end up getting support later down the line. But it is really difficult, you know, especially if you're working with a band that you're so passionate about and you just can't understand why the person you're sending it to like isn't a fan, or they just don't think they're ready yet. And it's like, but I'm laying out all of these amazing facts and the music is great, but you know, music is so subjective, and you know, what I think is an incredible single to somebody else may not be. And especially because it is so competitive, sometimes it's literally just, we do like this, but we like other stuff more. So it is really tough, but when it goes right, it is an amazing feeling. Like, to, you know, be able to tell these bands that they're getting national radio support, and you know, to hear it actually live on the radio, it's an amazing feeling.
And music is subjective, you're absolutely right. Like, one person loves one band, another person hates it. So, and we're probably going to have a bit of that when we review the next two albums. My penultimate question, I don't know if any's got anything else for you, Hannah. What's it like working with Lisa Coverdale? True.
Don't I love working with Lisa. Lisa is amazing. Funny enough, I've never actually met her in person, but I have, you know, been on lots of calls with her over the last 8 years, and we speak daily, you know, via our sort of communication hub. And yeah, she is amazing. I love her so much. She's always got my back, you know, always been my biggest cheerleader. She's great.
So your lawyers have told you to say. There we go. We've covered that base off with Lisa now anyway. She'll be happy to hear that. So just to get an idea of your music taste, Hannah. So who's your favourite band?
I think if it probably changes quite a bit, but I think if I had to pick like my all-time favourite band ever, it would have to be Foo Fighters.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because I have grown up listening to them, and my mum also loves them. So we have been to see them live, you know, many times in the past. So I think for me, there's that sort of emotional connection as well. So yeah, I would say they're probably my all-time favourite band. Yeah.
Okay. So for context, when we were setting this up, I said to Hannah, we'll pick an album and you can pick an album. And the first album that I suggested to Hannah was To The Grave, an Australian deathcore band, which are on Hold Tight. And Hannah was like, can we go something not so heavy? So I was just trying to get a bit of an idea of where you're at. So we went for Shell Beach and Scold as a compromise. So it's going to be interesting to hear this, actually, because these are two very different albums. And we have three people here today who have three very different tastes in music. So let's just crack on, shall we? So we'll start with Shell Beach. So Hannah, you should know this band. They're on, you're working with them from Hold Tight. The album's called Solar Flare. It's out on the 17th of February through Wild Thing Records. Great name for a record label, by the way. So, Venny, I'll come over to you because you've been very quiet. Shell Beach, any exposure to them?
Not at all, which was great. And it's funny how you get some kind of preconceptions in terms of what you're going to hear from the band's name or the album artwork. And even the first track made me generate a few preconceptions. So, yeah, I was going in with a very open mind to this. And it's as previously discussed, I was listening to it in a very nice environment on a very white sandy beach, so I had a nice setting to enjoy the record.
Yeah, I've never heard them before. I think I heard one of the singles before that was released recently, but that was my only exposure to them. Hannah, you obviously would know this band. Would you know any of their previous stuff, or would you know them before you worked with them?
No, do you know what? The first time I came across Shell Beach was when we were approached by Wild Thing Records to work the album. And yeah, I mean, I probably am quite biased, but yeah, I think it's a great record. I love it.
Straight in. We like to usually build things up, Hannah.
Sorry.
Okay, so you're a big fan of this band. Oh, sorry, of the album. Venny, I'll come back to you in a second, Hannah, but Venny, from my point of view, when I started listening to this album, I thought this is right up Venny Street, because if I may, what came across straight away for me was Deftones, Earth Tone 9 in places earlier on, and sort of like Tesseract periphery inklings. And yeah, I was sorry, this is right up Venny Street. Is that a fair statement that you enjoyed this?
Yes, yeah, and you've summarized it pretty well in terms of the chronology of how I took in the record. And it comes back to a little of what I'd said, in that the first track is the most Deftones-y, if I might say. The vocals in particular are very Chain of Marina. And I thought, great, well, this is what we're set in for. But what I'd say straight off the bat is that the rest of the record doesn't necessarily sound like that first track, and probably the biggest compliment I can pay the band is that they're actually quite hard to categorize or even draw too many comparators to, and I think that is quite a refreshing thing in this day and age of metal and alternative and heavy music, where we have heard a lot of it before. So yeah, I agree, some of those touchstones you've said, which I hadn't necessarily thought of. A couple of bands that I've listed, and these kind of filtered through as the album progressed, because as I say, it is a bit hard to pin down and different things come out as the record progresses. But I've got a bit of Devon Townsend Project in particular. There's a few slightly more random ones. Lamp Loss, I'm not sure if you remember, we reviewed them a couple of years ago, but that kind of quite bright major key shoegazy stuff that, I mean, I don't think they sound particularly shoegazy, but that kind of brighter side to it. Somme, which we reviewed this time last year, again, quite bright and uplifting. And then X-Doll, which are quite an old band, but there was a bit of that. And a bit of a random one, but if anyone's heard this artist, then it might strike a tone. But David Maxim Mikic, he's from Eastern Europe somewhere, but I felt there was a bit of that going on. So yeah, loads of different, quite disparate things. And as I say, that's definitely a plus point for me.
Hannah, do you agree with my opening? Well, sorry, we can come back to Benny's points in a minute, but the Deftones vibe, especially on the first track, and then those sort of bands. I mean, vocally, the first track is very Chino style, and then Benny's point is valid that it changes. But does that sort of set the undertone for the album?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I agree with that. I actually, when I heard the first track, I almost felt like there was a little bit of sort of like Keith Buckley kind of style vocals. Like, that's what I thought of when I first heard it. But yeah, no, definitely with the Deftones, I get that. And sort of like, you know, repeating what Venny said, it's what I love about this album is that so much goes on. And, you know, it goes through so many different sort of waves, but it doesn't feel messy. Like, it kind of, it works and it just sort of flows very well. And I feel like it's the sort of album that you can listen back to on multiple occasions and each time pick up something new. And I love that about albums. Like, for me, like, that is always gets a big tick.
Absolutely. This album didn't click me the first time. In fact, the first time I listened to it, it dragged for me. The songs, I mean, it's quite a long album. I think it's probably, 14 tracks, is it? Oh, sorry, 12 tracks. So on first listen, it definitely dragged on a bit, but I think I 100% agree, Hannah, like second and third times. Like, I played this album twice today and it's flown by. And like you said, discovering new bits in it. I think the album's really diverse as well. Like, there's loads to love on this album. I don't necessarily think this would be just for fans of the bands we previously mentioned. I think this would be a great album to have on in the summer. Summer vibes, really bright album. And I think a lot of people will really enjoy this if they give it enough time to go with.
Yeah, I mean, I would say definitely, whilst there's lots of different musical styles that go on it, I'd say some of the standout features for me, the vocals are great throughout. And as I say, they're not just one thing. The vocalist is quite talented in terms of mixing things up, but it's always quite clean. It's always pretty melodic, quite soaring choruses. So I think that's a real strong aspect to it. And I think the music as well, it's pretty bright. It's quite uplifting. You mentioned bands like Periphery and Tesseract in terms of that techiness, which I agree with, but it never gets extreme in any direction. So I think there is that wide appeal to it, like you say.
Has this been, have you had much, have you been pushing this album for airplay, Hannah, out of interest as we have you here?
Yeah, I have. I think there's been 3 singles now that I've pushed to radio. Some have had, you know, more support than others. There was a track, I think it's Absolution, I think it was, that Alex Baker has been a big fan of and has, you know, been supporting quite a lot on his show. But yeah, I mean, I can definitely, yeah, they're definitely radio friendly, for sure. Yeah.
And they're quite, I think they've done a fair bit of touring as well on the European circuit. Now, they're from Hungary. I initially thought they were Australian for some reason, with the name Michelle Beach. But they've done a fair few festivals, I think. And the album itself, although bright as it is, that we've talked about, it comes from a place of... you know, it dives into themes like mental health, loss and rebirth, which you don't really feel it on the album, do you? Now, I haven't gone into the lyrics myself, but it really doesn't feel like a somber sort of album going by the lyric content. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't, you know, had a proper, like, full look at the lyrics myself. But yeah, on sort of like a sort of surface music level, you would, yeah, it does feel very bright and kind of uplifting in parts. But I'd probably have to look into the lyrics actually, because I haven't really done that.
I know we're doing the review section rather than the interviewing Hannah section, but it's a bit of an intersection in that when we were reviewing a few records out last summer, examples being the Alexis on Fire record, the Coheed and Cambria record, they came out in the height of summer and the music just fit with the weather, the vibe. It just felt great to listen to at that time. This strikes me as a very summertime record, and I just wonder how much thought and planning goes into the time of year records are released and how much that's considered.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I've never really noticed that a band has released an album at a specific time because of that. I mean, they might have done. But I always think it's quite nice in like the depths of winter if a band do release a sort of quite bright and summery song, because to me that's kind of like you're able to sort of reminisce on the warmer times and the sort of brighter times. But yeah, it's a really interesting question actually, because I don't think I've ever been asked by a band, is it better to release bright and summery music in summer? But maybe that is a thing.
Joey, presumably with your musical tastes, all the black metal gets released in the deepest, darkest winter. You get starved over summer.
As you were both discussing that, I was interested in thinking, there's no way Immortal are going to release an album mid-August to be enjoyed on the beaches. So, it's a very good point. Sorry, what were we talking about? I've gone off a piece now. Oh, the album's released in the summer, sorry, yeah. Yeah, I have to admit that, Benny, this might please you, this album absolutely caught me by surprise, and I've had such a good time with this album. Like, I know it's only, January's just gone, but, like, this is a brilliant release, and I've been loving this, and I never thought I'd expect to say that. But, like, from the first track, I wish that was the single they released, because people need to hear that single now. The first track is Dismembering Games. Why that's not the title, the single? Or is it going to be a single, Hannah?
Not that I'm aware of, no. But I guess the album's coming out pretty soon, so people will be able to hear it in the next couple of weeks.
Like, this could be pushing my end of year list.
Nice.
Like, and that's... For an album like this, for me, it's not usually my wheelhouse, but I've absolutely bloody loved listening to this. This has been so much fun.
I'm very glad to hear that.
I say Benny's little smile as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm always glad when you're turned on to this kind of record. I really like it as well. And what I like, as I say, are those intangibles. As I say, it doesn't necessarily sound like... It's not easy to compare this to another record, and I like it when those records come along, because when you've been around long enough, when you're as old as Joey and I are, you've often heard a lot of this stuff before. So when you do get a record like this that is a little bit different, that is a bit harder to pin down, it's great.
Hannah, try and be unbiased now. Take off your whole tight hat, right? If someone played you this album and you weren't working with them at all, would this be your sort of records that you would listen to?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. If someone had just played me this randomly without saying who it was, I would have, enjoyed it for sure.
Brilliant. And sorry, probably just to quickly touch on now, your other half is also in the loop of this business. Would you two listen to the same sort of music? Or is it very different in the household?
Sometimes we have the same taste, other times not. His heavier threshold is much bigger than mine. but then there is, stuff that I listen to that's much lighter that, he probably wouldn't listen to on a day-to-day basis. But we do have a lot of similar tastes as well. Like, yeah, but it's good because it means that, we can just have our own time listening to our own music, but then enjoy music together as well.
would he like this? Sorry, do you want to tell him, say his name, or do you want me to?
Yeah, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want it to be like a secret or anything. But,
no, not at all. Not at all. We've been together for like 12 years now. Yeah. It's no secret. yeah, no, Matt would love this sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah, he's really into this kind of stuff.
Lovely.
Kitchen time, Sonos at dinner time. Fine.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. In fact, we've been listening to it a lot in the last sort of week or so. So yeah, we've really enjoyed it.
Lovely. And when Venny and I go to visit, usually we have like the testing is, can we play it while we're having dinner together with our wives on the Sonos? And this is an album, I think, Venny, that will go down very well at the next dinner party in Dublin or Edinburgh, wherever we're at.
Yeah. But yeah, much more so than a lot of stuff that you try and get away with. So
right, rating time. Hannah, do you want us to go first, or are you happy to go first? Do you want us to go get it out of the way and then you can follow?
I don't mind. Yeah, you go first.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll let Venny go first. Venny.
Oh no, everyone's so polite. I'll go first. Really good record, and for all the reasons discussed, slightly different. I've gone for a 7.5 for this record.
That's good. That's high for you.
I tend to be a bit on the harsh marking, Hannah. So, 7.5 is a pretty good score for me.
Yeah. All the reasons I've listened for, I've had a great time with this album. This is a 7.6 for me, which is, because it's not usually in my wheelhouse, it could have been a lot higher. But, really great album. Really, really good. Hannah, on your debut, what are you going to score?
I think based off the fact that it's a sort of record where when I get to the end, I could quite happily put it on again. And, as we discussed, there is so much that you can unpack from it. And, on multiple listens can find different things. I'm going to give it an 8.3.
Oh, that's, and do you know what? That's absolutely fair. I think that is definitely worthy. Very high score. Shell Beach, Solar Flare. Out on the 17th of February. Right. Now, let me just get my Scandinavian accent on. Okay, the next album we're going to review is by a band called Skald. The album is called Holdu Folk. I think that's right. It's out now. Came out on the 20th of January, and it's on Universal. Now, guys, has anyone listened to and or delved into this band before?
No.
Same. Okay, so we're all on the same page. We all went in completely blind on this one. I was actually intrigued when this was sent to us because it was on Universal, which is a big, big label, and the artwork was very Scandinavian. And I thought, oh, hello, maybe some black metal. It's not black metal at all. Okay, Hannah, let's start with you this time. You're no longer a newbie. When okay. I said, let's listen to this album and review it, what were your thoughts going into it and what were your expectations?
Okay, so when you first mentioned it and I sort of had a look into it, it is not something that I would normally pick to listen to myself. That sort of music, I guess, isn't often come under my radar anyway. I guess the nearest comparison that I have to it currently is a band that we work with called Heilung, in that it's quite historical and that kind of thing. Normally I wouldn't sort of think, oh, I want to listen to that. So I was really quite intrigued. I sort of had a bit of a read up about the band and the sort of things that they write their music on. I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I actually listened to it for the first time on the train going into London. And I would say the first few tracks really got me interested. I think the percussion was really powerful and it sort of got me feeling kind of quite motivated, almost like I was ready for battle kind of thing. and then I have to say, I did feel for me personally, it dips a little bit from track, I think maybe 4 or 5. I was still listening to it, but it's sort of my interest sort of dipped a tiny bit. And then I was like, hang on a minute, I kind of recognize this. And the Rammstein cover came on and I was like, wow, okay, this is actually brilliant. So yeah, it was, you know, there were not, I'm not saying at all that the bits that dipped my interest aren't good, because that, you know, the music is incredible. But I'm a bit more like, things grab me more if they're a bit more sort of like intense in your face rather than a bit, you know, sort of lower key.
Fairly impressive cover in that. And I was waiting for someone to say, when I heard the start of that track, did I hear the riff of Du Hast? And yes, you did. Benny, over to you. This feels like it should be more up your wheelhouse because of your bedtime listening antics. Mm. And I would say this was probably thrown on a few times at bedtime, was it?
Yeah. I mean, Hannah's brought to mind the main comparator that I had, which is High Lung. And it's not a band we've necessarily talked about together, Joey. And what is interesting, obviously, they've been announced as one of the Arctangent headliners, which is a festival that we were at and we love and we'll be going again to. So I don't know what your thoughts are on High Lung and this kind of branch of alternative music, which is not heavy in the traditional sense of the guitars are turned up to 11, but is heavy in other ways and has clearly found a space within our world, so to speak. So it's an interesting thing that I'm not sure we've necessarily spoken about.
You've turned that nicely on its head there, mate. You've deflected that nicely. The other band, I didn't think of Highland actually, Hannah, until you mentioned it, but the other band who are very much in this sphere are Wardrunner. And Wardrunner should be a band that I like because of the musicians that are on there. I mean, Ivor from Enslaved is one of them. And I should like it, but I just cannot get into it. And I think it is due to the fact of the lack of groove, rhythm, or whatever into it. That's not fair. There is obviously rhythm in it, but the power behind the music, and, you know, there's times where it would be threatening to go into something and it just lulls off again. And that is exactly the same feeling I had when I listened to this album. Hannah, you mentioned the word intrigued, and this album had me intrigued from the start, you know, going from the album cover and all that. But it was exactly how I imagined it after the first track. And for me, it until Du Hast, the cover, it didn't really get me excited throughout the whole album. That's all I'll say for now, Ben, if that answers your question.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, coming to your point, the word you used, powerful. I mean, I think this music could be very powerful. And I definitely think it's kind of what setting or environment you're in. And I'm sure if you were listening to them playing live with their full production at the bottom of a fjord, sure it would be very powerful. But yeah, it's not necessarily a type of music that we're necessarily accustomed to listen to. So that's why it is interesting that it's found a space within our world, which it undoubtedly has. But yeah, I mean, I probably don't love the bands that you've mentioned, High Lung, Wardrunner, as much. I can see their merit and I can see their artistic worth, but they're not necessarily bands that I would put on. And I kind of felt that when I first put on this. But actually, with repeated listens, there are things that stuck out and stuck with me a little bit more. A couple of things that particularly, I mean, the female vocalist in this is very impressive and really stuck out, and there's some kind of effect of her voice. It's quite hard to describe, and I'm not sure if it's her own voice as in it's an analog thing or whether it's digitally created, but it's very striking, and it's on the first track, but it happens again and again. The male vocals were interesting as well. I mean, they are a bit Till Lindemann. Even before I heard the Duhas. They are, and maybe that is just a language thing, but at one point, I think on track 7, the male vocal has become really melodic and sonorous. And I just think that point in the record is a real high for me. So yeah, initially I thought this isn't going to be my thing, but with a few more listens, there are points that I thought were really, really good.
Question to both of you. Would you, and Venny, I think your point's very valid, that if you saw them in their own show, I imagine it would be like the Highland Waldron experience, where they'd be, the production would be quite grandiose. Would you go see this band on their own on a headlining show, not at a festival?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I think it'd be really, really interesting to see it live, actually. Because I have to say, like, you know, I'm not saying that I don't like the record. I like it, and it definitely grew on me. Not the sort of thing I would normally listen to, but I guess, like, yeah, the visual aspect as well, I guess, would really enhance it, I think. So yeah, maybe I would go once and see them, and then who knows, I might become an even bigger fan.
Benny?
No, I mean, it's, as I said, it's not necessarily my cup of tea. I think to see them in their own setting, well sound checked and with a full production, I think would be better than a 20-minute slot in the middle of a day at a festival with no sound check and no production. So if that's the alternative, then I'd prefer their own show. But it's not necessarily the type of thing that I would stick my neck out to go and see. That said, I'm really interested to see what Highlung do as a headliner at ArcTangent.
And why, Venny, you touched on it a couple of times there, that these bands have found a place in, I don't want to say our scene, but in the metal scene. Why do you think it is that these bands, and Hannah probably, I mean, you work in the Highland, like, why have they found this space to be? And I'm also, this isn't me being like, get out of our space, I'm just generally curious to why, you know, this sort of music has found a place in metal.
It's a very good question, and I don't know what the right answer is, but I guess maybe, like, there are some quite, like, dark elements to it, and I guess that kind of crosses over with the heavier music. Yeah, I'm not sure, really, but it definitely fits in the world of sort of alternative and heavy music, doesn't it? But,
oh, totally.
Yeah, maybe it is, like, the sort of darker elements and, like, yeah, otherworldly kind of vibe. I don't know. It's a very good question.
And it is sort of towards the, Venny, you said them headline ArcTangent. It's definitely towards that. Those sort of people enjoy it. Like, you wouldn't see a fan or a diehard Slayer fan say, this is brilliant. Like, it would be dismissed straight away. It's people who have a lot more patience and time to get into these sort of things. And that I probably gave it, I didn't give it a kick in, to be fair, but I think with more listens, this would definitely be a grower. The problem I have is, when would I listen to this album again? Like, you know, for example, if I listen to, let's just take a Slipknot album, the last Slipknot album, just throwing a random one out there, didn't like on the first listen, but I knew if I say went for a run, I could put it on and I'd listen to it then. This album would need to be in a very specific time and place and my mood to listen to it again. I just don't know when that would be. And I don't know if that's coming across as being a bit harsh on the band, but that's just my point of view on it. I don't know if anyone agrees or disagrees with that.
No, I mean, I'm kind of on the same page, to be honest, because, you know, I've been listening to a fair amount to, you know, come onto this podcast and have a chat. But I was thinking to myself, when would I actually come back to this album at a later date? And I don't know, like I sort of said a bit earlier when I was talking about the beginning of the album, it kind of made me feel like I was going into battle. So maybe, you know, if I was, you know, preparing for like a big run or like, you know, something that I had to get really motivated for, maybe I would stick on the first few tracks and it would sort of gear me up a bit. But yeah, no, I'm kind of in agreement with you. I'm not sure I would just randomly stick it on, you know, in the day. I feel like it needs, for me, it does need a sort of purpose.
Danny, would you go back to this album?
Sorry, Hannah, I thought you were genuinely going to say, if I was preparing for battle, then yeah.
Preparing for battle.
Getting your chainmail on and helmet. Yeah, would I go back to it? Yeah, I think I would, but I think you're right. It's a very, you'd have to be in quite a specific mood to go back to it.
Okay. I mean, it's very hard to say any standout tracks. I think the saving one for me was Du Hast, which I think actually, to be fair, is a very good cover, which I wasn't really took me left field. Like, I didn't look at the track listing before I went into this, so I just hit play on and away I went and took me nicely by surprise. But yeah, I mean, go on, Ben.
You finish what you're going to say about that, and then I've just got a point on the covers, but.
No, go ahead. I think I'm pretty much done there.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, I just wanted to give the opposite view. I'm not a massive covers person anyway. I've said that a million times. I hated the covers on this, in particular Du Hast. I might be just a cheerless person, but I really didn't like it. A Forest, which is a Cure song, and I really like the original of that track, to me felt a little bit more natural in terms of being in keeping with the rest of the record. The point I wanted to bring up about this is when you think of bands like this, when you think of bands like Hylum, who are a really serious artistic expression, whether they mean to be or not, they come across as quite po-faced and, you know, very dedicated to their art. Their production is an expression of that. To me, putting a cover of Du Hast flies in the face of that completely. And it screams to me of a band wanting to say, oh, look at this funny cover we've done of Du Hast and get some attention from it that way, rather than being, we're this really artistic entity. We go back to our Norse roots and this is our artistic creation. And oh yeah, we've got a cover of Du Hast, which is quite funny on the end of it. So that's kind of how I felt. And maybe I'm the cheerless po-faced one, but I, as I say, I'm not a big covers person anyway.
Hannah.
Sorry, Hannah.
No, not at all. I agree. It is quite unusually placed. But I have to say, like, it was what then got my attention sort of nearer to the end of the record. But in terms of, like, my favourite tracks, I really don't want to try and, like, say the names of them.
Because you have to. Come on.
I will mess it up really badly. I'd have to open my Spotify to do that. but it was tracks 2 and 4 that were, I think, my favourites.
Okay. This seems like it's a very negative review from all three of us, but I think it's probably, I mean, one thing I will say is that bands like this who do dedicate to art, Benny, taking aside your point of doing a Du Hast cover, like, you know, these Scandinavian bands who really immerse themselves in their culture, and, you know, this, I think this was done like on from a 13th century legend or something like that. You have to tip your hat, and they do really immerse themselves in it and do dedicate a lot to it. So from that point of view, I tip my hat that they have really created an album which is full of atmosphere and, you know, relatable to that Scandinavian theme. So, I mean, that's my final point on it. And before we go into reviews, but unless anyone else has anything they want to add, unless we've covered all bases.
Nothing really new to add, but no, I do agree with you. Like, it may not be 100% to my taste, but there is no doubt that, you know, the band are extremely talented and, you know, the music they make is excellent. It's just, yeah, for me, it's just not something that I would, you know, usually listen to. That's all.
All right then, Hannah, over to you, young lady.
Based off everything we have discussed, but also remembering the fact that, you know, musically they're very, very talented, I am going to give this record a 7.3.
Okay. That's higher than I thought it would be, actually, to be fair. For me, I'm giving it a 6.5. And again, for the reasons, fully appreciate the art and dedication they put in. There are some good tracks in there, but just as an album in completeness, for me, it just doesn't do much for me. So 6.5. Ben?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, as you've just said, it might appear quite negative, this review, but I too thought there was a lot to like about it. The cinematic scope of it, the atmosphere. I really like that stuttering vocal effect from the female singer, the sonorous, the really melodic male singing that comes in, I think, on track 6. So there are points that I really liked on it. Maybe a couple of decimal points knocked off for the covers, but I've gone for a 6.6.
Oh, wow, Vanny, that's close for us. That's very close for a change. Okay, so Skald, the album's Huldufólk. I think that's right. So before we come to an end, so we've reviewed the albums, Hannah. This year, a year in Hold Tight, or a year of music, whatever. What are you most looking forward to this year? It could be album release or something you're working on. I mean, you probably can't say too much, which is in the pipeline due to confidentiality.
There is so much I'm looking forward to. Just a couple of things off the top of my head right now. I'm working with Ville Valo, the vocalist of him. On his solo project. He released his debut solo album middle of Jan. He is touring over here in March, so really looking forward to seeing him live.
Before you go on to the next one, just because I listened to that Vilvalo album, because for some reason I have this affection to him, not all their stuff, but a few songs. What did you think of the new album?
Yeah, I love it. If I'm being completely honest, I was never like really like into him back in the day. Like it wasn't that I didn't like him. It was more that him just weren't really on my radar as I was sort of growing up. But yeah, I think it's great. You know, the singles that I worked on, like just super sort of catchy, but then there's a lot of like, I'm trying to find the right word. I find it difficult to describe his album. But
I think whatever he did, like whatever he was going to release, because he has such a cult status in the world, like he's just hugely admirable. Absolutely. Like it's going to do well, whatever.
Yeah. And he, you know, everything you hear on that record, he did on his own, like every single.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is so impressive. But yeah, I really love the album, and I'm excited to see how it translates into sort of the live stage. He's playing in London at Kentish Town Forum, I think. It's sold out, so should be a really fun night. I am going to it, yes. I've got to get up really early the next morning because I'm going to a hen do in Malta the next day. But I am dedicated. I'm going to be there to witness it.
Around. Who the hell is going to keep the world turning with you two on all these holidays?
I know. What we like.
I'm going to quickly ask Vanny, what did you think of the new Vilvalo album?
Not listened to it, so can't pass comment.
I assumed that would be the case. So Vilvalo, yeah, anything else on it?
There are loads of releases coming up that I'm super excited for, which I probably can't talk about too much right now, but... we've got quite a lot of bands playing at festivals this year, which you know, really looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to Slam Dunk Festival. I've got a bunch of bands playing there. We've got Billy Talent, Creeper, Holding Absence, Harriet, and like a bunch of others, I think. So that'll be really fun. I always go to 2000 Trees, it's one of my favorites. We'll be at Download Festival as well. I'm just really, really excited by a lot of the bands that we're working with at the moment. It feels like it's going to be a really strong year across the board.
And are we going to see the release of the Tesseract album this year? Has your boss said anything?
I couldn't possibly say.
It's, I mean, It's year again. It just seems to be flying by. I mean, January was the longest January in history, but so much to look forward to. Like, like we used to go download every year. Loved it. ArcTangent. It just seems to be at the moment just so much going on and so much live music. It's just great to see. There's an event. It's good to be back.
It is, yeah. And I keep getting my arm twisted to go to everything, which is maybe not a bad thing. But yeah, it's Slam Dunk. It looks like I'll be going to Download, Bloodstock, ArcTangent. Do you know all of them? They're all great. It's just finding the time to commit to all of them. But yeah, it should be a great year.
Yeah. And maybe we'll meet you one of them, Hannah, face to face.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Let's try and arrange that for sure.
I'm sure we'll be at one of the festivals you're at anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's keep in touch. Let me know and we'll arrange something.
100%. Well, you keep firing us those emails of all the lovely stuff you've got coming up. Thank you so much for your time, Hannah. It's much appreciated. I know you're obviously a very busy lady, so thank you for taking the time out to chat to us. And I mean, we might meet in a field this year, or if not, we'll definitely have you back on the show and we can review some albums that you want to talk about.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very happy to come back on. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it. It's been nice to listen to some new music and discuss it and, yeah, get to know you guys. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you so much. And Benny,
thank you very much. Thank you very much, Hannah. It's great to have you on and provide a bit of a different perspective to the usual one we get on the show. So yeah, thanks very much. And well, given you've not met your boss in 8 years, I don't hold too much hope of meeting you this year, but who knows.
Well, you know this year could be the year that I meet everyone, so.
All right, guys, thank you so much and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.